snow falling from the sky. Cloudy gray skies outside. It's all right, we'll warm this thing up here in just a couple minutes. Sean Doolittle, Nationals closer, Virginia product, will join us from spring training at 8:20. Also get a visit from our favorite meteorologist, Andrew Frieden of NBC 12. But joining us right now, as the music would dictate, Johnny B. Good. John Laser, the voice of the Hokies, where there is a change of season in Blacksburg as well, from college basketball over to spring football. We'll get to both as Lays joins us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. Good morning, Lays. How's Blacksburg this morning?
It is white this morning, my friend. We've got a blanket of snow here, as I believe Richmond does, and it's still coming down, which is a little bizarre, having gone to spring football last night.
School's closed. 2-hour delay. What kind of snow are we looking at here?
They closed campus last week or a week and a half ago at some point. I haven't heard word on that just yet because I just got up about 4 seconds before I come on with you, as is usually the case. I'm sure all of that's happening, though, because it's pretty snowy.
All right, if you need any listings on delays or closings and you just got out of bed 4 seconds ago, you can go to foxsportsrichmond.com, all provided by our friends at NBC 12. We'll get to spring football because Lays was there. We'll do that in just a second. But now at the end of the college basketball season in Blacksburg, if you had to put a label on the season as a whole, how would you describe it?
Well, that's a great question. I think that this season for the Hokies will ultimately be described as a success. I think that's the word that I would put on it. But I think it will also be looked at as a season in which you certainly had some missed opportunities to take a bigger step forward. And I don't mean that as an indictment. It's just when you look at being a couple of baskets away from being a potential 3 seed and a double bye in the ACC tournament and maybe having advanced your seed line in the NCAA tournament, it's hard not to look at it that way. But then obviously you can look at it the other way, where you were only a couple of baskets away from potentially playing in the first day of the ACC tournament and not being a top 10 team in the conference. And I just think it shows that margin for error. But there were definitely some of those moments that you would have loved to capitalize, and some leads that you had late that you lost. But at the same time, there were some bigger and better opponents that you took down. And ultimately, I think that it makes you a program that's consistently been a relevant program over the last 3 years, maybe the last 2.5, to when the Hokies went on that run, the tail end of the ACC season in Buzz Williams' second year. So, yeah, ultimately, I think success is the word that I would use, but with that caveat.
Okay, you got graduation, you got guys leaving, you have guys incoming. But the guys that they bring back, okay, now that we're into the offseason, give me the guy you're keeping an eye on in this offseason to see how he can grow his game.
Well, that's Nikhil Alexander Walker. I think for most of the Hokies at this point, with Justin Robinson and Kerry Blackshear and Chris Clark, you have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be. They can get better, and I think Blackshear particularly will get better. But I think you saw on a handful of occasions down the last 10 or the last stretch of the season, the last 10 games or so, what Nikhil Alexander Walker can be. An above-the-rim player on both ends of the floor that can maybe lead you on some nights in rebounding. He can certainly shoot the basketball from the perimeter. He can get the basketball to the rim. He can defend one of the top two players on the opposition's team, and he's going to need to step in and fill that role. One, because he's a player with NBA aspirations. I think you looked at him as a high-level player that potentially could have been a one-and-done, probably maybe a 2 or 3-and-done in Blacksburg because he has that level of talent. And when he takes that step, obviously it's going to be a huge benefit to Virginia Tech as well. And on the other side of that, I think all those things that I just said would profile to fit the exit of Justin Bibbs, who certainly at times had all of those abilities as well. So he's definitely going to be the linchpin for this team next year, I believe.
He's John Laser, the voice of the Hokies, Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910. Transitioning over to spring football, which I think right off the bat, I know people want to dive into different positions. I think the first storyline is how much camp is impacted by other injuries that are going to keep guys away and give other guys opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think a ton just yet, just because in this first week I was at practice last night. You know, it's not that they're not doing anything. I don't want to make it sound like that, but they're doing a lot of fundamental stuff. They're not doing a ton of good-on-good, 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 work at the moment, and it's just a lot of ball security, fundamental-type things, and everyone's going to go through that regardless of health or not. I think, to your point, though, there will be opportunity, not necessarily due to injury, but due to youth and due to a lot of the people that left last year, particularly on the defensive side, to get a ton of reps, and there's going to be a lot more information gathering, kind of what I was talking about with basketball just a second ago, where you know what some guys are, but that number is definitely less than it was last year. And speaking of less, I think you have less guys from an impactful standpoint that won't participate or that didn't participate in spring last year than at least at the outset you have this year. So that's definitely a good thing. But there certainly were some noticeable absences, and there were some noticeable body changes in looking at the guys for the first time in a while last night. I don't think that was just lip service that Justin Fuente was giving to the weight room gains that he feels like this program made. So, yeah, definitely some intriguing things, but hopefully the injuries won't impact things too much.
All right, give me a guy. Give me a guy on offense. Give me a guy on defense that you're looking to see in terms of offseason growth, maybe that body growth that you referenced, but give me a guy that you're kind of locked in on either side of the ball.
I love that question because it never pans out, right? You come back and I always say, well, look at that guy. He came out of nowhere and he went from like fourth to second on the depth chart. We never see him. But the couple that stood out to me last night were Caleb Stewart, who's the true freshman coming in at running back. He's just a big guy. He's got that prototypical running back frame, and I have no idea what his skill set is just yet because he was just doing ball security stuff. But he's a thick-framed guy in terms of being in that backfield. Tarius Wheatley was another guy that kind of got lost in the shuffle last year, redshirted as a freshman and will play this year, and I thought he looked great in terms of slimming down and looking more explosive. But Lasita Smith, I'm not sure if you caught Coach Fuente talking about that the other day. He was a tight end last year, and now you look over at the offensive line group and he's one of the biggest guys in it. He's got to be 320 or so, and I'm interested to see, with obviously having the athleticism that goes with being a tight end, what that may mean in terms of competing for time on the offensive line. But he definitely stood out to me. I didn't honestly take a huge look at the defense last night, but I am interested to see Jared Hewitt and how much of a physical force he can be. He's the first name that Bud Foster always talks about in terms of depth at that position and who may step up, and he looked good physically to me. He looked like he's getting a little bit thicker and bigger and maybe able to help control the run game a little bit more, but I think he's up close to hovering around 300 too.
What do you want to see from Josh Jackson by the end of spring where you feel comfortable saying he's going to be the guy week one? Or considering what spring football is that an unrealistic question?
Yeah, it's unrealistic, particularly based upon your previous question about who's not going to be there in terms of the receivers, and not just who's not going to be there due to injury, but who's not going to be to a level where they're going to help as much as they may after fall camp and into the regular season. But I'm not sure in terms of what you want to see from Josh Jackson, because I think the things that you need to see from him are only things that you're going to see in actual live game action, and one of that is holding up to the rigors of the season, particularly the way in which the quarterback in this offense is asked to play, running the football a little bit more. But can he be more explosive to the hole when you're running some of the quarterback power and you're running some of the option things? Can he get to the edge with his legs? Can he make the throws to the sidelines with not only a little more accuracy but a little more drive behind the football to give people opportunities to make plays on the outside? I think it was a chicken and the egg thing last year in terms of some of the blame being put on Josh unfairly and some of it being put on the rotation of the perimeter weapons that you did or didn't have. And once you do have those and have more of them this year, then I think the onus goes back on the quarterback to start seeing if he can make some of those plays. So, you know, with Josh, as we've talked about in the past, you know, he's going to put the effort in to try to make those physical gains, but some of those type things are areas in which you just kind of are what you are and trying to make the most of it through knowledge and through making the right play rather than that huge athletically inclined play. And that's going to be interesting to see how far he's advanced with that while you also look at some of the other guys in terms of their physical maturation. Hendon Hooker, most notably.
Spring football carrying on for the next 3.5 weeks. Spring football game in Blacksburg coming up on Saturday, April 14th. So plenty of time to converse with Lays about that. You can find him on Twitter at LaysVT. Wow, basketball season done, spring football. You guys are probably in full-blown wedding mode right now, right? You dialed up to gear number 5 here.
Yeah, absolutely. Renee told me that I was going to get smacked in the face with wedding planning as soon as the Hokies lost in basketball, so I better root as hard as I ever have for that to happen. Clearly that didn't work out for me in Pittsburgh, but yeah, man, shuttles will be running on time in D.C. I got some other things ordered in terms of food, and yeah, we're on the road, and we're coming to your house this weekend to go to Engagement Encounter Weekend, which is 12 hours of unfiltered religious thoughts from me.
I can't wait to hear your feedback when you come home from that on Saturday night. I can't wait for John Laser to come home to me on Saturday night because I can't wait to get an earful about that.
You won't have to wait until Saturday night. You're going to be getting text.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Throughout the day.
Jesus says, leave the phone at home, buddy. John Laser, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Cowan Gates. 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. Get back to wedding planning, and I'll see you this weekend, buddy.
All right, my man.
He's John Laser on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline.